This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. It's 7:35. Some West Virginians could soon see an increased power bill. Two utility companies are citing new proactive programs, storm recovery costs, and aided expenses at generating plants to justify a rate hike. Jessica Lilly reports.
Appalachian Power and Wheeling Power filed a request yesterday with the West Virginia Public Service Commission for a rate increase. The companies are asking for a $226 million revenue increase. Both are subsidiaries of American Electric Power, which says in a news release that if approved, West Virginia customers would see a 17% increase in electric rates depending on usage and how they're classified. The company says the rate increase is needed to recover the cost of restoring power and making repairs after two major storms that hit West Virginia in 2012, the Derecho and Hurricane Sandy. The two companies are also implementing a right-of-way maintenance program. The proposed rate increase would cover the cost of the new vegetation management program, which the companies say will help prevent outages and reduce restoration times when storm damage occurs. The news release also cites rising maintenance costs and the need to improve transmission lines and generating plants as a reason the companies need the rate increase. American Electric Power says rates in West Virginia have not increased since 2011, and during that period, customers in Virginia and Tennessee have seen increases. If approved, the company estimates a typical residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt hours a month would pay about $22 more each month. Customers using 2,000 kilowatt hours would see an increase of about $45 a month. American Electric Power employs about 2,500 people in West Virginia. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly.
There will be some new faces at the next quarterly meeting of the West Virginia School Building Authority. As Cecilia Mason reports, the SBA has a new leader and several new members.
Governor Earl Ray Tomlin has appointed a new executive director and five new members to the School Building Authority. Tomlin announced that David Sneed will serve as executive director. According to a news release from the governor's office, Sneed was the chief of architectural services for the School Building Authority from 1990 until 2012. He has also served as director of school planning in Kanawha County and worked with a private company in educational projects. Planning. Sneed replaces Mark Manchin, who was executive director of the SBA for 7 years before taking a job as Harrison County School Superintendent. Tomlin also appointed several new members to the SBA. They are Tom Lang and Eric Lewis of Jefferson County, Victor Gabriel of Harrison County, Robert Holroyd of Mercer County, and Chris Morris of Kanawha County. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason in Martinsburg.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Radio. It's 7:39. Sunny today, hot and humid with showers and thunderstorms possible, highs in the 80s and low 90s. Tonight, cloudy with the chance of showers and thunderstorms continuing. Some of the storms could produce gusty winds and frequent lightning. Lows tonight in the 60s and 70s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by the Alzheimer's Association, providing assistance for people facing Alzheimer's and dementia through the 24/7 helpline, available at 800-272-3900.
One Marshall University football player has found a unique route to a professional career. Clark Davis has more on the story of a man playing ball in Canada.
When Marshall defensive end Alex Bazzi finished his playing career at Marshall last season, he hoped at this point in the summer he would be preparing for a career in the National Football League. But after going through rookie minicamp with the Cleveland Browns and not receiving a contract offer, he decided to take a different route. Their route has taken Bazzi to the British Columbia Lions of the Canadian Football League. Bazzi went from hoping to just get a shot playing football as a career to being a starter for the BC Lions.
It was a wonderful experience. I embraced it all. Coaches, you know, accepted me. They liked what I was about. And they just allowed me to play comfortable. And once I started relaxing and playing comfortable, it allowed me to show my talent. And from there, you know, it was to the point where coaches was kind of looking like, man, we got to get this guy on the field.
The 228-pound Bazzi has found a spot on the defensive line with the Lions. He's one of just three rookies to start against the Edmonton Eskimos in a Lions opener Friday at home. Bazzi says it's been quite an experience and his first exposure to professional football.
I was very humble. I came out and I worked hard every day. I just wanted to show that I could be an impact. And, soon enough, it came down to the point where, you know, coaches wanted me on the first starting lineup. And from there, you know, I continue being humble, just continue working. And that's what I'm still doing.
Although the league sits behind the NFL, the CFL plays on a field that's longer at 110 yards than the NFL's 100 and is wider at 65 yards compared to 55 yards. They also have 12 players on each side compared to 11, like you see in football in the States. Bazzi says it's been an adjustment.
I'm still learning. It's still a lot to get a feel for it, but as the weeks and as the days of practice go by, I'm learning a lot. I'm picking it up. At the end of the day, I told myself it's football, so don't get caught up too much on what you don't understand. Still remind yourself that it's football and just go out there and play football.
Bazzi finished his Marshall career with 66 tackles and 13 sacks and helped Marshall win its first ever Conference USA East Division championship and a berth into the CUSA championship game. Bazzi says his time in Huntington turned him into a man.
You know, I was a young child coming in. I wasn't quite sure on how to be disciplined, how to carry myself in a proper manner. And just being around the guys that I was around when I was at Marshall, you know, the coaches and what they demanded, their standards, it all helped me grow up fast.
After losing the CUSA title game, Bazzi helped the herd to a win in the Military Bowl against the Maryland Terrapins in Annapolis, Maryland. For the Silver Spring, Maryland native, not getting offered an NFL contract may give him the motivation to succeed in the CFL.
It helped me a lot. Although I felt that I went out there and left it all out on the field, it was still a little bit of anger in me. I still carried a chip on my shoulder, just, you know, not being picked up. But being here at BC now is the perfect fit for me, and I'm just happy that I was given the opportunity to be here.
Bazzi registered three tackles in the season opener for the British Columbia Lions on Friday. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
A grant is equipping West Virginia geography and science teachers with tools to help better educate young people about their watersheds. For one teacher, Charleston's January chemical spill that left more than 300,000 without usable water was a wake-up call, showing just how important this program really is. As Jared Klein reports, the grant helps teachers find affordable, hands-on education techniques.
Sherry Mitchum can remember her childhood growing up in southern West Virginia.
You know, I grew up near streams that were not good, the ones that you could smell before you got there. And I remember that. But it never occurred to me that there was a way to fix it or that there was, you know, I was just a kid. And these are the same kids that we're teaching.
Mining activity has damaged streams and rivers throughout the coalfields of Appalachia. As a science teacher at Pikeview Middle School in Mercer County, Mitchum hopes to help her students have a better understanding of watersheds and how they affect what we drink.
Water, especially with our students, is taken for granted. They go to the tap to get water out, but it never occurs to them where it came from, how it got there, what steps have to be taken for them to be able to drink it, and what just daily living, just what they do throughout the school day while they're at school can impact that same water.
Mitchum realized she needed to do more after watching students' reactions to the Elk River chemical spill that left 300,000 without access to usable water earlier this year.
She says that while
students knew what was happening, they thought there was an easy fix to the problem. It was this confusion that inspired her to explain the situation in a more practical, hands-on sense. Thanks to the Chesapeake Bay Science and Geography Initiative, Mitchum received a grant from the National Geographic in conjunction with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The money is available for water quality field tests to groups in states that are in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. More than 150 rivers and streams flow into the Bay's drainage basin, which covers parts of six states: New York, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, and the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. But back to the boots on the ground. As an adjunct instructor at Concord and grant administrator, Mitchum is preparing to share hands-on teaching techniques with other West Virginia educators. Mitchum says one of the ways to test the influence of watersheds is through teacher workshops.
Part of the reason we're taking the teachers outdoors is to give them a first-hand idea of what you can do with your students. They can actually take the students to the streams, and we've also had a workshop on how they can bring the stream to their students.
Mitchum says that while first-hand experience is ideal, she realizes some teachers are restrained due to lack of money.
Some schools, some areas, some teachers simply aren't able to take a field trip to a stream. It's just not going to happen. And we've given them lots of alternatives where they can just use their backyard, back schoolyard, alternatives where they can actually bring the water in and do the testing.
Robert Miller is a graduate student at Concord University. This past year, Miller, along with other master's program students, collected water samples in Mercer County to study watersheds and test the alkalinity, pH, and oxygen levels. Miller is also a seventh grade teacher at Madison Middle School in Boone County. Miller plans to take the methods back to his classroom.
The lessons we'll learn there, we'll be able to take those and back to some streams that are perhaps not so healthy, and we'll be able to make our connections there.
Joe Manzo is a professor at Concord University and a co-coordinator with the West Virginia Geographic Alliance, a partnership between the college and K-12 schools. The Geographic Alliance is responsible for administrating the funds from National Geographic. Manzo says the grant program helps the Alliance promote better geography curriculum in West Virginia public schools.
So our overall goal is more geography and better taught geography. And through the programs that are incorporated under the Alliance, teachers have those kinds of opportunities.
Overall, 70 teachers applied for the grant money. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jared Klein in Athens.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Marshall University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. You can listen to and read our stories on our website, wvpublic.org. Like us on Facebook at West Virginia Public Broadcasting and follow us on Twitter at WV Public News for the latest West Virginia news anytime, anywhere. Our producer is Cecilia Mason. Our director is Teresa Wills. Our news director is Beth Voorhees. I'm Ashton Mara.